Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch. And we just finished a wonderful, wonderful segment with David, who is the director of the Family Health Centers. And it's amazing what's available for people on Long Island. You just got to look up. You either have to pay attention. I mean, sometimes it's right in front of you and you don't see it. And now we're going into another group, and we have Steve Chassman and Karen Curtin. Now, Steve is the executive director of LICADD.
One of the longest not-for-profit names in history, the Long Island Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence.
And actually, I just said to Steve, I met Steve 7 years ago, 8 years, I don't remember exactly when it was. I went for a mindfulness program that he was running. And I do remember, and that's what reminded me when you said the eyes, because I remember the woman I was working with, my partner.
Sure.
And it really was a wonderful program. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Karen Curtin. And Karen is Regional Development Director with Treatment Centers for Addiction.
The Karen Treatment Center.
The Karen Treatment Center for Addictions. So I always start off, you heard me, with David. I'm going to start with Steve first. How did you get involved in this?
Well, LICAT has been around since 1956. We have three offices in two counties.
No, but I mean you personally.
Oh, well, there's always
The head of it, in my mind, is the most important person. Even though I'm not knocking anybody under you, that's not my personality. Oh. But it's like the ship is being steered by you.
Mm-hmm. Well, like a lot of people who come to not-for-profit human services, always a human connection, much like David Nemiroff, who I know for many years.
Oh, okay.
Karen Curtin. We've been touched as a community, as a society, in many cases our family and friends, by addiction. No one is immune to it, and no surprise to anyone around this table or your audience, we are enveloped in a current public health crisis or an epidemic around substance use.
Right.
Starting with opiates, alcohol, get ready for the decriminalization of marijuana. And our elder population or older population is not immune to being impacted by that.
Right. And Karen?
How I got involved?
Yep.
Similar to Steve, like he said, personal connection to treatment, addiction, family members, and getting introduced to this organization as a family member years ago.
Oh, okay.
Always very impressed with the work that they did. Never saw anything like it. And as a family member, I stayed very connected. And it eventually,
and now you're a regional director.
It eventually turned into a job offer. And I have never looked back. I switched my whole career to work for them. And very blessed.
That's what works.
Yes.
When something like that happened, I love those stories. It's like you got involved for the wrong reason, unfortunately, but it worked. However it worked out. But
right.
Then you said, listen, this is my calling.
Yes.
I need to follow this along.
Yes.
You mentioned marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem. What's your feeling on it?
Legalized. I'm a healthcare professional, so my only opinion is that of how it impacts individual and community health.
Okay.
The reality is, and we don't judge people who make choices to make unhealthy decisions.
Right.
The reality is some people can use marijuana with impunity, recreationally. Some people will misuse it, and still there will be some who will abuse it and become dependent on it, and it will serve, for some, as a gateway to other drugs. So here, as we just celebrated Woodstock 50,
right,
perhaps the people who are in their 70s and 80s or 60s, 70s or 80s, who were part of that 60s generation, was the first American generation to have really casual attitudes about drugs. Let me be clear, though. This is not the marijuana of the 60s, 70s and 80s. You're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry where the THC levels are significantly higher than Mother Nature. And listen, if we were talking about idealism, and I missed it, I'm born in 69, but if we were to idolize some of the social impact of the 60s, I think most people who lived through it, that whether it was civil rights or human rights or stopping war and the peace movement, some people would say got derailed because of the progression to more selfish drugs like cocaine or amphetamine or heroin, opiates. And here we are enveloped in another opiate crisis. So. Not, and of course, our older population not immune to this, in a lot of ways even more susceptible.
Right. And Karen?
similar to Steve, I just don't see it as a positive thing for our society. Right. You've seen the fallout of it in other states that have already legalized it. Whether or not they're openly discussing it, I think we hear more of it. We see it walking through the doors at Karen. We see psychotic breaks from kids, et cetera.
Right. My friend
it's just
was
not a good thing.
President of University of Colorado Hospital until a couple of years ago. Now he's up here, but he says, you know, the statistics you don't see is, you know, well, it's not DWI, whatever you call it.
DUI, driving under the influence.
Okay, DUI. And et cetera, et cetera. And it just went crazy. But they're not talking about that. Of course, it's a revenue. It's billions.
Yeah.
It's untold billions. Every corner, it's green something. Green sanctuary, green this, green that. Everybody, if you see green, you go in, and no matter what you tell them, well, I have a really bad back. Okay, here's your prescription, and you're getting it.
And listen, New York has had for 11 illnesses, from cancer to HIV to glaucoma, we've had 11 approved medical marijuana. So no one denies the medicinal properties of marijuana. And for absolute clarity, it's LICAT's stance. We don't think people who use marijuana products belong in jail either. So the decriminalization model was a lot better than the legalization model. And not to make jokes, but if you think it's a bunch of like older men and women in tie-dyes from Colorado pushing the legalization model, you're wrong. These are men and women in $10,000 suits with a multi-billion dollar business model aimed at Americans, primarily younger people.
Right.
I mean, I don't know too many adults. Listen, if you want to recreationally use marijuana and sit with a box of Malamars and watch Seinfeld episodes, that's your choice. But I've been to Portland. I've been to Los Angeles. I've done my field research. And, you know, gummy bears infused with THC is not geared towards adults who are making choices to recreationally check out for a few hours. And, of course, LICAD, having three offices in two counties, in 1 month, last month, July, we saw 1,132 people. Now, granted, that's a pretty finite kind of pool because they're all coming to us.
How many?
1,132.
Wow.
And that's in three offices. We have two in Suffolk. And listen, all of them with serious and profound issues. And the reality is that marijuana played a role in each of their journey. Now, that's not exactly a fair cross-section.
I didn't say what you said.
They're coming to us. So, and listen, I think America still has to contend with, you know, what are we going to do with drugs? I mean, the war on drugs has been going on for 40 years. It's been trillions of dollars. We've never had a worse substance use epidemic, and not just heroin, but cocaine and amphetamine. The jails have never been more filled with untreated substance users. And, you know, we're still struggling with health care as a right or a privilege for treatment for this. And Karen Treatment Center is among the best, if not in the region, in the country.
So. Okay, let's go over to Karen. Actually, before I do that, and recently we had a conversation with Madeline Singus, and who's going to be coming on.
Yeah.
And just from that very reason, I mean, one, she's like, you can't spend time with police arresting somebody who has a joint or two. There's more important things. We're not making light of it, but we have to put the forces where they need to be. And then people who do have, and they come in into the hospitals with opioid and overdoses, you can't just send them home.
I
forget there's a place now that has basically been set up. At least they can get in a halfway house until they can get into a house, because 24 hours you send them back on the street, they're rehooked. They're not going to say, okay, I'm getting out of this.
Well, it goes further. And just to sing the praises of our current district attorneys, Madeline Singus and Timothy Sini, these district attorneys, these police commissioners in Ryder and Commissioner Hart have forged partnerships, two of which are with LICAD, where they're diversion programs, where you have police officers and DAs who are actually diverting people away from the criminal justice system towards treatment through LICAD.
Okay.
That is unprecedented and unparalleled. So.
And that's because she feels it's a waste of money to be putting somebody in jail with a slight problem. I'm not talking about, you know, major addiction, and you know how you determine it, I don't know. That's between the police and everybody else, but the program exists.
Well, it's regrettable that the largest housing provider for people with untreated substance use and mental health issues is the Nassau and Suffolk County Jail.
Right.
So these law enforcement professionals or legal professionals understand that if we can treat the actual etiology or the problem, the substance use disorder, they may never have to be in a courtroom again.
Right. Now, Karen, the Karen Center.
Karen, I know. Karen from Karen. It helps. It helps and it confuses altogether.
What goes on there, conceptually?
Karen, well, we've been around since 1957, started by Richard and Catherine Karen, a nonprofit organization, originally starting out as treating men who drank too much and okay. helping the wives. And it's evolved into...
Is this a live-in place or no?
You it's a residential meeting. Center, oh, okay. one okay. in Pennsylvania, two in Florida.
Okay.
We have offices, regional offices. We have one in Manhattan, Boston, Philly, D.C., and Atlanta. And so they have evolved over 62 years into treating adolescents, young adults with all specialty programs. Women, men, relapse, chronic pain, healthcare professionals, legal professionals, airline pilots, and today's topic, I think, is older adults. So we have an older adult program.
I don't think somebody going on vacation was very happy you threw an airline pilots. I was like, wait a minute, back that one up.
I know, when you think of that, I know as we evolved and we opened programs, we opened them as a result of what we were seeing showing up at our doors. A group of physicians, a lot of pilots, a lot of lawyers stressed with their job. And
right,
then
right.
a lot of older adults, and they needed something different. Each group right, needed okay. their own specialized care.
That's the most important thing, because once you start talking over my head, around my head, or something, I'm out, because it has nothing to do with me. Even though the substance abuse is my problem,
right.
the way you're talking, I'm not listening
right.
to you.
They're
you
identifying know. Out
identifying,
instead of identifying with.
Yeah, if I'm not identifying, I'm lost.
Right.
And by your, that's a great program, so you can specify, and you're going to use the acronyms, or whatever it is, the vernacular of
yes,
the group.
Of the population.
And it's I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, are you set up similarly to what I'm going to call a wellness program? Like there's a Canyon Ranch, which is sort of a resort, but it has an enhanced kind of program. How do you differ? It looked from some of the literature that there may be similarities here.
We offer a very broad program with wellness included, but we are treating medical, behavioral health, and addiction. So we have physicians specializing in addiction treatment. We also have psychologists dealing with the mental health capacity components, and we have counselors who deal with the substance abuse, and we have family therapists who treat the families, because families are impacted by addiction and they come to treatment with their loved one. So they're spending time getting the help that they need.
Is this very expensive to get involved into programs like this?
So yes and no. I mean, we're nonprofit.
Excuse me, Karen.
Yes.
Put you on. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
Because, and then you can answer that question, because
okay.
I don't want to cut you off in the middle of it.
No problem.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.